bless your heart. Hallelujah. I like it. Amen. Listen, there's many a day when you might feel like I do sometimes, like nobody cares, that you're just in this big old world all alone. I'm glad, not by that song, but I know it's scripturally true. He knows when that sparrow hits the ground. If he thinks that much of a bird, amen, I know he watches over me today, amen. And I'm telling you, in the good, the bad, the ugly, the whatever it might be, I know this evening that God is watching over us. Boy, what a mess it'd be if he wasn't, huh? Yeah. But I'm thankful to know that he is watching over us this evening. So I praise the Lord for that. Take your Bibles with us this evening. Two places. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And then Romans. The book of Romans. First Timothy chapter 2 and Romans chapter 14. When you found your place, if you would, let's stand together out of honor and reverence to the Word of God. First Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and Romans chapter 14, verse number 2 there. So 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, Romans 14, 2. I'm going to continue. We're doing these studies or preaching. How are you going to look at them Sunday? I don't know what you want to call it. We want to be able to help somebody, or at least I hope you do. And we've been just looking at the simple, basic, doctrinal things, fundamentals, if you want to call that, of the Word of God. And so I hope it's a help to you. And I hope that you take what we've learned and take, I mean, it's just, you were here just a little bit. Take what we get and then grow with that. Go study some more out of it. And then take it into your job, your school place, wherever you might go, and put these things to work. So that's our desire. Look with us in 1 Timothy chapter 2. We looked at this thought last week, but it sort of just rolls into this week. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5, says, "For there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." And we looked last week on that simple doctrinal fact of who Christ is. He is 100% God, but he's also 100% man. And we looked at that. And what I want to look at tonight is more on the man side of things. And look at that. We've already looked one time at the depravity of man. We know that man is a fallen being. We know that sin is real. We know that it's every man that's ever been born since Adam, that sin nature is in that man. And we'll see those verses here in just a little bit. But the thing that I want us to look at tonight, and this to me is one of the hardest places to get somebody. When you're dealing with somebody about salvation, even to the place, not only salvation, but I believe in obedience, we're going to look tonight at man's need of accountability / responsibility. And listen, I don't care who you are. It does not matter. Scripturally tonight, Jew or Gentile, we are everyone individually accountable to God. And that's something that most people don't want to talk about. Most people do not want to go there. We live in such a day that people don't think about the cost. They don't think about the accountability factor of these things. But tonight, you're not accountable to me, but you are accountable to God. And you ought to fear God a whole lot more than you fear me. People do a lot of things because of a man or whatever. Listen, you need to realize, just as we heard in that song, I'm thankful. Hallelujah. I know that God's watching over me. I know tonight he knows my needs. But the scarier side of that is he's watching me. And great, listen, we can fool one another. You can put a smile on your face. I can teach you how to be a Baptist or this or that. I can teach you how to stand up, sit down, how to sing, and I can teach you all that stuff. But one thing about it, God knows the depths of the reality of what you really are. And that's the part tonight. We must, as we deal with people about salvation, we need to let them understand that they will stand before God by themselves. We have grown a generation of people that likes to blame everybody else but the right person. It's always somebody else's fault. But tonight we're going to see what David said over in Psalms 51. David acknowledged the fact it was him. He sinned. He and he alone. And tonight you and I need to get back to the understanding that we are accountable and responsible for our actions tonight. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. It'll be a help to you if you'll get a hold. And as you deal with people, getting people, listen, I've heard it. It almost makes me want to throw up when I hear it, but I hear it all the time. Well, I wouldn't go down there, a bunch of hypocrites down there, this, that, the other thing. Look, when you stand before God, it ain't going to matter about them hypocrites. You don't come to church for anybody else but the Lord. That's the responsible action. That's the accountability side. And listen, most people think, well, I'm getting by with it. But are you really getting by with it? Oh, no. You all will be accountable. You are accountable. So look with me over here in Romans chapter 14 real quickly. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, I said verse 2 is verse 12. Romans 14, verse 12. This ain't what the preacher says. This ain't what the Baptist doctrine says. This ain't what I believe or you believe. This is what God says. Notice chapter 14 of Romans, verse 12 says, "So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Now, we don't need to break her down in the Greek. We don't need to run all these things here and there. That's as simple can get. It says, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You know what we want to do? We want to give account to God of everybody else. But the Bible says you're going to give an account of you, not me. When you stand before God, I got a lot of faults, but you're not going to blame me. You ain't going to blame your daddy, your mama. You ain't going to blame God. There's only one, and you're going to give an account. So that's what the Bible says. So we're going to look at this fact a little bit this evening on this thought of accountability and responsibility when it comes to man tonight. So let's pray, and we'll let you be seated. Father, we sure love you. God, I'm so thankful tonight, Lord, that, God, that we can have accountability. Lord, I think it helps us. God, it should encourage us. It should strengthen us, Lord. And God, help us tonight to understand as we deal with our families, God, as we deal with our children, our wives, Lord, as we deal with neighbors, as we deal with loved ones, friends, co-workers, God, that we've got to get them to see, Lord, that they themselves are accountable, that they are going to stand before a holy and a righteous God one day, and they're going to give an account. And Lord, I'm thankful today, God, to know that you've already paid my price. And God, I've accepted you as my Savior, Lord. And God, Lord, it's been paid in full. And God, but you've paid the price for every man, woman, boy, and girl. And God, what they're going to get an account of, Lord, is why they didn't accept you. And God, I pray, Lord, you'd help us tonight, God, to understand, Lord, as we, even as saved people, go through our lives, that we are accountable, God, to what we do or don't do, or how we say or not say. And God, just take this, God, and burn it into our hearts, God, to give us a check, God, to check ourselves up, Lord. And God, we'll thank you for it tonight. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I believe today that that's probably one of the greatest things that we're lacking in. And again, I wish we could really go back to this. I don't know why we can't, if we really wanted to. I know, everyone in here, you have a sin nature. Now, you look pretty good tonight. You dressed up and come to church. Oh, yeah, look at us. Got our little halos on. We're all good. But in depths of us, there's still that sin nature around about us. And wouldn't it be good to be able to have a brother or a sister? And this is something David and I have talked about as far as maybe something down the road is helping biblically what the Bible talks about, the older men helping the younger men, the older ladies helping the younger ladies. But to help one another to have some accountability. That when we come under fire or when we come under something that's overwhelming us, that we could call a brother and tell him, hey, pray for me. I need some help. Help me be accountable. Hey, call your friend. Hey, did you pray for us today? Did you read your Bible today? Have somebody to help have that check and means. We do it financially. We do everything we can to make sure we get all that stuff right. But listen, what about spiritually? I know tonight that I'm accountable to God. And we're going to look at that fact tonight, that we need to understand that fact of accountability. And again, the Bible says here in Romans chapter 14, verse number 12, it says, so then every one of us, who is that? That's all of us. Again, it doesn't matter who you are. I'm going to give an account of who? Himself. To who? Listen, tonight, it's not about me or you. We're going to give an account to God Himself. And we talked about it before. I've said it before. How many times have you got down and started praying, and in your prayer, you was lying to God? God knew our hearts. And you prayed something that you really didn't mean. We need to be accountable. And that's the fact that and listen, accountability keeps us walking straighter. Look, yesterday I had to come over this way and do some things, and preacher, how do you get to your house from here? I couldn't tell you if I wanted to tell you. We take every pig path between here and there. You got to go to Turkey Foot. Anybody know where that's at? I know some of you do. There's actually a little place over there. You got to go to Turkey Foot. But, I mean, it's a little old country roads over there. And I'm sort of guilty sometimes of not paying attention to what I'm doing and mashing the gas a little faster than it should go. Because there's never nobody out there. But guess what? Yesterday was somebody out there. See, y'all already thinking I got a ticket, but I didn't. I passed that cat, and I was thinking, thank you, Lord, that I ain't speeding this time. But you know what? It made me get back in check. Hey, there's a law here. It's against the law to speed. And him being there made me physically, mentally have the thought of, I am accountable. Just because he ain't there doesn't mean that I'm still not accountable. And just because tonight you don't see God face to face, he is here and he is watching and he's paying attention and he's taking note. Now listen, I hate to even bring up this, but tax season. I ain't going to ask you if you lied on your taxes. God knows, and you know, I hope. But listen, you might be able to fool the IRS, but you didn't fool God. You can fool the preacher, but you ain't going to fool God. So tonight, we're thinking about, we're talking about, we're looking towards this fact of accountability. And again, it don't matter who you are. It says here in Romans chapter 14, verse number 12, that you, whoever you are, shall, that's a given, you're going to give an account of yourself. And listen, that's the thing that I don't understand why we've got to that place. Look, I don't care if they're that age or if it's the guy that's 100 years old. They're just as much of accountable as that guy is. Every one of us is going to give an account. And that's what these young people need to understand. I had a friend. He's a highway patrolman. And he's got a son the same age as my son. And I remember when our sons were going to school together a little bit, playing ball together a little bit, I was talking to him, and he told me, I hope that when my son gets 16 years old, that if he does something wrong, that he doesn't get off because I'm a highway patrolman. Now, we know that happens a lot, not just to them, but a lot of things. People get off. They get out of something. But does that help anybody? Look at the damage that we've done because we've taken away that accountability. Brother Mark back there, he told me of an instance that happened here in Salisbury where they caught some people breaking into a house, felony offense. They slapped them on the hand and let them go. Do you know what that did to those people? They says, it's okay, go do it again. And we've taken the fact that we are accountable. You need to realize every action is going to, this is a physical property, every action is going to have an equal or greater reaction. What I do doesn't just affect me. And I'm accountable. And that's the thing I don't think we understand. All we see is us. But it stems so much further out to other people. And for generations to come, we can't see that big of a picture. But the Bible tells us that we are going to give an account of ourselves, not to the preacher, not to the police department, but we're going to give one to God. And when you stand before them, and I always think about Adam in the garden. Adam sinned. We know that. God comes walking, and the Word comes walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Who is that? That's the Lord. He comes walking through. Hey, Adam, where are you? Where were they at? Hiding in the bush. Why did God ask them where they were at? Did he not know? Sure he knew. Don't you think he knows what you've done or hadn't done or should have done? But he gives us opportunity to step up to the plate and be accountable for who we are and what we do. So we're looking again at accountability. Look over in Matthew chapter 3. We've got several places. We're just going to turn scripture. That's about the only way I can teach this tonight is give you scripture. That's the only thing I got. It's all you need anyway. Matthew chapter 3, look with me, verse number 5. Matthew 3, 5 says, Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Now, what was he saying? He's talking to who? The Pharisees and Sadducees. He's talked to that religious crowd. And he says, what did he call them there? He says, old generations of vipers. Now that's a compliment, isn't it? That's putting it down there pretty good, isn't it? And then he goes on to sing. He says, bring forth therefore fruits, verse 8, verse 9 says, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. You know what that's saying? That's a group of people that says, look, we're special. All that other stuff, it applies to you. But we've got Abraham. We're special. And I'm afraid a lot of times Baptists get that same attitude. You know, we think that everybody else is wrong and we're right. But listen, we're every one of us accountable to God for our actions and what we do and what we say. And here we see the thought here of the nation of Israel. They've come out. Here's the religious crowd saying, we've got Abraham. I don't know what you're talking about. And notice what he says here. He says, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able to these stones raise up children unto Abraham. Listen tonight, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're white or black, green, red, polka dotted. Don't matter how tall, round, whatever you might be. The fact is tonight, you are accountable for you. And you're not going to ride in on my coattails. And youngins, you're not going to ride on your mom and daddy's coattails. It don't matter if your daddy's a preacher, if your daddy's a teacher, if your daddy's this or your mama's that. You individually, I individually. And this is the thing that I don't understand. Why do we think the older we get, the less accountability there is? That's something that I see. We think, you know, the older we climb up the ladder, well, we've arrived here. Who are, you know, that's the same thing that we see being warned of. Don't say you're of Abraham. Well, don't say, well, I've been in this church since it was founded. What does that get you? Nothing. Boy, I'm glad that you're here. Not taking light of that. But the fact is, we're always, always going to be accountable unto the Lord. And so we need to get that under our belt and understand that. Look over in Romans chapter 14. We're going to be back to Matthew in just a moment, so if you want to keep your finger over there, but we'll... Romans 14, 4, look at this. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Look, we're too busy wanting to help everybody else. You need to worry about you. And if you'll get yourself right, maybe the people around you will get right. You are accountable. And I know I don't want to sound so blunt, but I want you to understand, ladies, yes, your husband needs to be a spiritual leader. But God give you a brain. God give you eyeballs. God give you the ability to read. And you need to read your Bible. If your husband won't do it, that don't mean you're still not accountable. You are accountable. You're not going to slide under this thing because somebody else didn't do their job. You are accountable. And that's what we're seeing here. Look back over at Matthew chapter 12. Man, there is a accountability or a responsibility to man. Matthew chapter 12, look with me in verse 36. The Bible says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. That's scary now, isn't it? I've had people come up to me and say that I said something in a message, and sometimes I have, and didn't really mean to say what I said maybe, or didn't come across the way you know what I have to do? I go get the CD and I'll sit there and I'll listen to that thing, make sure what I actually said. You know why? Because sometimes I don't really remember what I said. Let me ask you something. Can anybody remember what they said yesterday at 10 o'clock? I can't either. But guess who can? I forget a lot of things. The older I get, that's easier to do. But God hadn't forgot one thing. Can you imagine how many words you've said since you started talking? Some of y'all, I can't imagine the words you've said in the last hour, but I don't say a lot unless I'm up here, but I like to listen more than I talk. That's a biblical concept. But God says, I hear every word. Is that not what he says? That every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof. I wonder how God's going to do that. I don't know. I just know it's going to be happening. There is going to be a day there we're going to give an account. All right, let's look at a few more verses, well, several more places. Let's draw ourselves back to why we're looking at this thing. The Bible says, Romans 6:23, probably everybody in here probably knows it, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is a payment for sin. Agree? For the wages of sin, the price of sin, is death. Now I'm thankful tonight that I know that there was one that paid that price for every man, woman, boy, or girl. That payment has been paid. But the thing that we have to get people to understand, and I hope you understand this for yourself, is we're all sinners. Two things real quickly that I don't understand. One thing, I guess, it might be the same thing, I guess, but why, after we get saved, do we see everybody else's fault? But when we wasn't saved, we didn't see anybody's fault. And I'm afraid that we have grown ourselves that, and I hate this because I don't understand it, but then again, I do understand it, is we're humans are terrible at this. Is they like to push everybody else down. It's that humanistic way. But we like to look at everybody, what everybody else is or is not doing. Why? Because it makes us feel better. But we never talk about the stuff that we're doing or not doing. You see that? And another thing that I want you to understand, how long did it take you to get a hold of some things in the Bible? Some people grab things this quick. Some people's real slow at it. But we're so guilty of when we get a little bit of knowledge that we look down on the people that don't have knowledge. Why is it that way? We need to understand the whole purpose of what we're trying to do through these things on Sunday night on fundamentals is to help us to be able to help somebody else. And you don't want to sit down with somebody and just nail them to the wall. Aren't you glad somebody didn't have that towards you? It's that thought of compassion. But we do want to let people understand that, look, you are accountable. Look, that preacher, he's the worst preacher I know. That church, man, they got all kinds of problems. But buddy, listen to me. It's not about those people. It's not about that preacher. It's not about this. It's not about that. But what I want you to know is what are you going to do when you stand before God? So, accountability. There is a need of accountability. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We know those verses. There's none righteous, no, not one. Again, I love how God makes that so perfect. There's none righteous. Oh, but Grandma, man, she was great. But God says, no, not one. We're all guilty. And you and I need to understand when we're working with people, when we're dealing with people, we're just like they are. We were on our way to hell one day. We were lost and couldn't see. But God used something through somebody, through the Word of God, through the preaching, through a song, whatever it was, to speak to our heart, and we saw that, hey, that's me. So when we're dealing with people and we're talking to people, I'm not saying compromise. We're not moving the line. We're going to stay straight. We're going to know sin is sin. That's not what I'm saying. We're not going to be oblivious to sin. Sin needs to be showed up. We need to mark it. We need to let people see, hey, that's wrong. But we've got to get people first to see that you're accountable. There's a price. And you can't pay it. But the Lord paid it for you. So the Bible says it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used to see the poison of asp is under their lips. Now, tonight, who is that? That's everybody. None of us were righteous. None of us can do good. But God loved you, loved me, that He would save us. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul said it this way, O wretched man that I am. You see that accountability? You see that looking at really who I am? And people that you're going to work with, people that you're going to put your hands on, people you're going to talk to, every person is accountable. They're not going to get in by a church membership. They're not going to get in by who their daddy was or their mama was or their grandpa was or whatever. But they're accountable unto God. Look at over in Romans chapter 5.
I won't read several verses here, but I want you to hear them. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope and the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Do you remember those days? Do you really remember that you were lost? That helps us to have compassion towards people, to talk with people. Get off our little high horse of being a Pharisee or a Sadducee and look, hey, I'm just like you. Maybe I'm not a drunk, maybe I'm not a murderer, maybe I'm not this, but look, I was on my way to hell. And look at what God did for me, and God will do the same thing for you. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, so would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now look, here comes a common thread that we know. Verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that have not sinned, after the similitude of Adam, transgression, who is the figure of him, was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so it is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. And it goes on, I won't take time, but look, what I'm saying is we know by one man, what happened in that garden because of Adam, that sin is passed down, and that sin is still passing down. That's the reason that every person, no matter who they are, wherever they are accountable. Now, let me throw this out here. Everybody always wants to run to Africa or some dark place where they don't have churches on every corner like we do. What about them people? Guess what? They're still accountable. Why? Because we looked at those verses over there in Psalms, how the heavens declare his glory. And John tells us there's a light being given into every man. But the sad thing is, we've been given so much. We are so much more accountable than the person over there that don't have the book in front of them tonight. We're all accountable for sin. But I'm talking of accountability much greater than just sin. We're accountable for what God's given us. Look at how easy we've got it today when it comes to being able to spread the gospel. You at any time of a day can pick up a phone. Most of us, I don't know if all of us, but most of us tonight probably got a cell phone. You can do it in your car. You can do it at the house. You can do it at Walmart. You can pick up your phone and call somebody and tell them about Jesus. You got computers. You can reach all the way around the world with a click of a button and tell somebody about Jesus. We've been given automobiles to be able to come and go as we think we ought to tell somebody about Jesus. Look how much we're going to have to be accountable for. Every one of us has been given the same amount of time, 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, and however long you live, you're not accountable for what I do. And what bothers me is everybody looks at what somebody else is or ain't doing, but look at yourself. And we'll see some verses here in a moment. But I'm saying tonight, me and you, we need to understand how blessed we are when it comes to the light of the gospel. Look at all the priests. My goodness. You can, I listen to preaching a lot, I listen to the bluegrass gospel a lot. I don't know how many totes back there of preaching tapes. Look at all that I've got. And there's people in this world that don't have one stick of that. But I'm accountable because I've been given that. But what am I doing with it? We are accountable.
Amen.
So, know that. Look over in Psalms 51. I want you to see what David said. Let me say this as you're turning. I don't want you to sit here tonight and think, oh no, look how I've messed up. Because we've all messed up.
Amen.
I don't want you to sit here and throw bust a hole in your boat and just sink, thinking there's no hope. Look, you are accountable for everything that you've said from time till now. But I'm saying tonight, you can't change one thing about this morning. You can't change one thing about yesterday. But friend, today, right now, you can stand up, get up to the plate and say, God, help me to understand that I am accountable, that I need to take responsibility, that I need to get off my can of do nothing and get up and understand that I don't blame somebody else. It's me, oh Lord, it's me. And start today.
Amen.
Walking in a different way.
Amen.
Looking in a different way. Talking in a different way. You can't change yesterday, but you sure can change something today or tomorrow. So, again, Psalms 51. Look here at David. David said, have mercy upon the nation of Israel. Oh, God, no, that's not what he said. He said, have mercy on me. Oh, God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude, thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Man, America's terrible. Can you believe how crazy this place is? Yeah, I can. But me, I'm not going to stand accountable for America, but I am going to stand accountable for me. David says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. Notice verse number 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Notice verse 4, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. See what David said? David said it wasn't Bathsheba's fault. David said it wasn't the Israelites' fault. David said it was my fault. Let me help you. Acknowledge you tonight. Look at you tonight in this mirror of the Word of God. Let me give you some quick verses. We won't take time to turn there. I'll give them to you and read them to you. Jeremiah 17:10. Says this, I the Lord search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Did you hear that? The Lord said, I the Lord search the heart. That's what he said. I try the reins, even to give every man. Who is that? That's me. According to whose way? His way. And according to the fruit of his doings. Hebrews 4:13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. How did Adam stand before God? Naked. You ain't gonna hide behind nothing. Nothing. I ain't talking about clothes either. Well, God, I didn't understand. God says, yeah, you did. Well, God, I didn't have opportunity. Oh, yeah, you did. God says, I know. I see. Matthew 12:36-37 says, but I say unto you that every idle word, I didn't got that one. Matthew 7:35 says, and why beholdest thou the mote? Now, again, this is that same theory of why are we this way? Matthew 7:37, verses 3-5 says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out thy mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. What's he saying? Look at yourself
before you look at anybody else. Ezekiel chapter 18, and I'm done. Verse number 20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It's a given. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. You know what that's saying? You're not going to blame nobody else but yourself. Why? Because God says you are accountable for you. Now look, my accountability for me does reach further than I am accountable to others. God has put something in this earthen vessel that it's my responsibility to take and give it to somebody else. I'm accountable to these people, to those people, to those people, to those people, to preach the truth. But you are too. I want you to understand when we deal with people, and again, this is all about discipleship. This is all about trying to help people to grow in the Lord, is we need to understand you've got to get people to see that they are accountable. Just because God ain't standing right in front of them, and he really is, they just don't see it. Just because they don't feel it right now, they are accountable. And they will stand before God and give an account. Tonight, help us to understand that we are accountable. You might be here tonight and you're lost. God loves you. I want to tell you I love you, but I don't love you near like God loves you. But God loves you so much, he died for you. He paid your account in full. And because of what he's done for us, we're accountable to do, to take it to other people so they can see what Christ has done for us. If you're here lost, why don't you get saved? Being a Baptist ain't going to get you into heaven. Let me time us out here a minute and hurt you a second. Not really hurt you, but just blow your mind a little bit. A prayer is not going to get you into heaven. Preacher, I prayed the sinner's prayer. Could you show me that in the Bible? It's not about a prayer that you say with your lips per se. It's an action that comes out of your heart. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Tonight, I wouldn't bank tonight on anything that I did. How are you getting to heaven, Jesus? How's he going to do it? I ain't got a clue. I just know I'm trusting him. If you figured out more than that, God bless you. Because the more I try to understand it, the more I understand, I don't understand nothing. I just know the Lord, that's his responsibility. All my responsibility is to believe him. But I want you to understand, we are responsible, church. But so is everybody else. It needs to start at the house first. And then let's go out to the highways and hedges. Let's stand together this evening.